underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Best-selling author Harlan Coben brings one of his fans' favorite characters back after a 5-year break in his novel Home. It is the 11th book in the Myron Bolitar series and has just been released in paperback. The Home plot centers around a kidnapping of 2 young boys from wealthy New Jersey families a decade earlier. The kidnappers demanded ransom, then never contacted the families again. When one of the boys, now a teenager, is found in London, not only is everyone stunned, they learn life-changing details of the fate of his friend as well. Harlan Coben has had 9 consecutive number one New York Times bestsellers, and he reintroduces us to one of his most popular characters, sports agent Myron Bolitar. Again, the name of the novel is Home, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Harlan Coben to this week's book show. Harlan, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be here, Joe. Thank you.
Well, it's very nice to have you on the program and have you here. Give us a sense of what brought you back to this character. And I guess another way of asking the question is why you took a break.
Well, I always start with an idea. And if the idea will work for Myron, he'll tell it. If it won't, he won't. And for the last, 15 years or so, it hasn't been that often that he's been the one ready to tell it. You know, I don't want to bring Myron back for the wrong reason. I don't want to bring him back just to make a balloon mortgage payment, or I don't want to bring him back in the literary equivalent of the Harlem Globetrotters visits Gilligan's Island. You know what I mean? Just to sort of see him and say hi, and based on nostalgia. So I'm only going to write him, and I think this is the case with Home, when it's a story that really, really works for him and a story that will stand on its own. So if you've never read a Myron Bolitar novel, I think Home is probably the best place to start.
With that said, and I certainly understand the logic, especially when you make a Gilligan's Island reference, for goodness sakes, but I am interested in that idea of, in writing a series with a character, there is that assumption that you'll write this book, and then you'll write another book, and you'll write another book, and there is in many cases, a long-range plan. And that's different for you.
Yeah, I wrote 7 of them in 5 years, finishing the last of those 7 in year 2000. Since 2000, I have written, this is my 4th, and I've written, I've altogether written 30 books. So I've written a lot of non-Myrons. Here's the thing. I don't want to write the series like Hercule Poirot or Sherlock Holmes, where the character never ages, never changes, and just sort of solves crimes at the same stage of his life. Myron was never that way. When I wrote the first book, Deal Breaker, he was about 27 or 28. He's in his mid-40s now. And again, to use a pop culture reference, I always wanted to be that special episode of Blossom, Myron Bolitar novel. I always wanted to hit him personally. I didn't want him just to solve a crime for the sake of solving a crime. It had to hit him personally. The good parts of this is that I hope this makes the stories rich. The bad part of it is you can't write 100 of them. You can't write them forever. How many catharsis can a man go through before he's unrealistic and not fun to read about? So I need to take those breaks. I need to do it this way. And I think it's worked out for both Myron and me, and as a third party, hopefully the reader.
So let's talk a little bit about what brought you back then. What was it in this story that you could explore with this character that you found exciting and gratifying?
Well, I had this idea. We've seen stories where a kid goes missing and comes back years later. So in this case, the 2 children disappear. Child disappears when he's 6 and he comes back when he's 16. Like, that's a pretty gripping premise right there. What happens to him? But now imagine it's 2 children and only 1 comes back. So what happens to the family of the other kid? What happens to the family of the kid who did come back? What secrets did both kind of hold? And I love this idea. When I was trying to think of who the kid was, I realized he had a relationship with Myron's sidekick, Wynn. When I last left the series, they had kind of separated. As we open this book up, the two friends, and really the Myron series is a bromance also, hadn't seen each other in a year. So I just thought that's a really cool way of opening, finding one of the kids. The very first page, very first line talks about the missing kid was right across the street. So we start right away with it.
Did you have to get back into that mindset, or did that come right away, that this character came right back to you?
Surprisingly, or not, maybe not surprisingly, he came back right away, even though I haven't written him in 5 years. But I had to age him. He was not the same. The world is not the same as when I started the series. They're different guys, and that's how it should be. A lot of their humor, a lot of their sensibilities had to change over the years. The world is different now than it was when I first started the series in 1995, the first book came out.
Was that a discussion that you had with yourself of, and even those around you, agent and so forth, that where you say, this is a character, if from book to book, I want to age or I don't want to age?
I think it just sort of happened. I mean, one of the big places it happened is the first time I left him after writing 7 straight, and when I came back to him, it was 6 years later, and I kept trying to think, well, what's happened? You know, where am I now? And I said, you know what? Let's just skip 6 years in his life. Let's put him 6 years in the future and see how that works. And I kind of liked it. It was sort of starting, you know, you always want to start fresh at the same time. You don't want it to be something that's drudgery for anybody else who hasn't read the whole series.
When you look at the series and how it started, what did you want to accomplish? What did you want to accomplish with this character? And I'm talking in terms of storytelling and what he allowed you to say and what he allowed you to do.
When I started Myron Bolitar, I loved the fast-talking, wisecracking private eye, Raymond Chandler, Robert Parker, you know, Dashiell Hammett, these sort of characters. But what I thought they did lack was, one, a modern sensibility. Most of those guys were loners in the past. And two, the plots were not great. I mean, you loved the character, but the actual mystery wasn't so fantastic. I had written standalones and thrillers and things that involved more plots, so I thought, what if I could take that kind of plot that I love and match it with the kind of hero that I love? And that was sort of my goal when I first started the Myron book. So hopefully, you know, you just want to spend time with Myron and Wynn and Esperanza and the rest of the regular cast, if you will, but that the mystery is equally gripping, that you can't put it down because you have to know, well, what's the story? Where is that other kid? Is, you know, what happened to this kid? What really happened 10 years ago when they disappeared?
I want to talk about the kids and talk about the story in a moment, but I also want the flip side to taking a break. Did you enjoy exploring other characters and in that time and exploring other story ideas and what is not involved of having a series character?
Well, you know, the comparison I use, and I don't even know if it's accurate, but I kind of like the way it sounds, is that it's a little bit like painting. And with a standalone, again, I've done 11 novels, 11 Myron Bolitars, but I've done altogether 30 novels, so most of them are standalone. You're starting with a blank canvas as a painter. It's completely blank. With a Myron Bolitar, some of it is filled in already. But what's filled in, you kind of love. So you have a place to start. But it can't be completely different. You have to stay within what's already there. So there are two different joys. I also look at the Myron Bolitar series as each book is a chapter in a larger novel that I don't know the end to. When I start the book, when I started Home, I knew the beginning and I knew the ending. I didn't know much in between, but I know the beginning and the ending. But if the Myron series is, you know, longer, is one long novel in some ways, I don't know how that novel ends. I don't know what's going to happen in his life. I don't know if he's going to get married or have kids or keep his friendships. That I find out book to book.
That idea of knowing the beginning, knowing the ending, is that usually where you start, of knowing those things and then filling in the middle?
Yeah, with the exception of one book called The Woods, I always knew the ending before I started. Yeah, I like that. I don't need to, but I like that. You know, it's sort of like I'm traveling and I can at least see where it's going to end. I know I may be going off in weird directions. I may get lost for a while, but I do have a place I'm going to in the end.
Harlan Coben is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is Home. It is published by Dutton. talk a little bit about Wynn Lockwood. This is a character who is Myron's best friend. And in this novel, In Home, narrates several chapters in the first person. What led you to that and doing that creatively?
Well, when I first started the series, I love the sidekick. I love buddy-buddy, be it Batman and Robin, be it Sherlock Holmes and Watson, Spencer and Hawk, whatever it is. I love that dynamic. So I wasn't sure what to do. I wanted an original idea. And I based Wynn, his real name is Windsor Horn Lockwood III, and looks as snooty as his name, on my best friend from college, who had a name equally obnoxious, pretty boy blonde, what we call WASP, I guess, patrician looks, but is sort of a killer underneath it, is very, very good with violence, sees the world very black and white. And I love this idea for this character, and people really gravitate, I think, toward Wynn. It also gave the novels, I think Home is a very good example of it, there's a bromance quality of it. These guys really do not just like each other, but love each other as friends. And I think that gives the stories an extra added dimension as well.
You are often I've noted in reviews, people refer to you as a master of the suburban thriller. I know it's a phrase that's often used of a suburban fiction teller when people are talking about Tom Perata. What do you make of that moniker and the idea of a storyteller who is suburban?
Well, I think it's probably, I place my books in the suburbs of New Jersey outside of New York City. And there is an element, even in Myron Bolitar novels, which is sort of in some ways classically detective also. But I think there's an aspect of family. I mean, if there's one overall theme that I do throughout my career, it's the love of family. If I asked you if you'd kill somebody, you'd say no. If I ask you, will we kill somebody to save your child? The answer is yes. Where is that line? I'm always trying to sort of find it. So I kind of love that idea of the American dream. I love we have this sort of thing that we go out, we buy a house, we try to have a picket fence, we have 2.4 kids, a car or two in the garage, and that's joy, that's happiness. But that's where things can also, where a dream comes true, it can darken into a nightmare. And while I partially make fun of that dream, I also get that dream really is a worthwhile goal. So combining all of that, I think, gives the stories, and Home another example, a realism. These people are struggling to make it the same way everybody else is, and struggling for what we call the American dream. But having been overseas many times, it's sort of everybody's sort of dream.
And you want there to be a heart, very much a heart to the story.
There has to be. At the end of Home, I hope you shed a tear or two. I hope you're genuinely moved by what happens. Otherwise, it's not going to work. I mean, you may read one of mine. You're not going to keep coming back. I want it to be about the novel. It's called Home, about make you feel like you're coming home. I mean, I want to break your heart. I can write fast-paced plots, and that's what I do. I'm a book you take to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and you wake up at 4 in the morning. You keep reading until 4 in the morning because you have to know what's going to happen next. You can't put the book down. You'd rather stay in your hotel room than visit the city you're in on vacation because you have to know. So that's what I try to do. But if you don't care about the characters, you got the most expensive car in the world, but if there's no gas, it's not going anyplace. So you have to have that heart aspect in it.
And of course, there's that grabber. So many of us, when you read a story of just that idea of two boys who disappeared and the heartache that comes with that, and year after year, this is 10 years later, of what that is, what that has left everyone around them, how they're feeling and what they do to fill in those blanks.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of the book where one of the mothers is explaining, that she doesn't want to get over it because the only thing that's sort of more horrible and more painful than missing your child is to give up on your child. That she can't live with. She can live with the pain, as horrible as it is, but she cannot live with herself if she has given up on finding him. That's sort of cool. I mean, it's sort of an interesting thing to write about and to be able to resolve in some way.
You like exploring the themes of of loss and and the rebound and recovery and the found, don't you?
I do. I mean, a lot of books are my books are about redemption and about loss. Again, these are things that I find not just powerful, but also to be a little colder about it, wonderful for storytelling, wonderful to make your character. You know, every novel you've ever read is really your character walking down the road of life, and there's obstacles in his way, and that's just a wonderful obstacle to put in your character's way. How they overcome that, how they deal with it. That's fairly compelling stuff.
One of the things that is, I think, mentioned in the jacket of the book, that this is the first time that you have put two books out in 1 year. Have you always resisted that in the past, or did the timing just work out?
It was more the timing kind of worked out. Usually when I finish a book, I go 2 or 3 months without an idea. Just, you know, got to fill yourself back up and all of that. This is the first time about a week after I finished a novel, I had the idea for the next one. And then the publisher said, wow, it'd be really cool if we could try to do two this year. We wanted to move you, try in September. I've always been a March author. And, you know, I said, well, I'll give it a try. I'm not going to rush it. I'm past the stage where I have to worry about doing anything for marketing or whatever else. But about a month later, I'm like, no, I'm far enough in this that I think I'll finish it in time for a September release, as long as you understand that if I don't, I'm going to tell you we can't do it because I'm not going to put out what's not the best I can do. And it worked out.
We talked a moment ago about having the start, having the end, and then filling in between. That in between in your books is also filled with some really incredible twists. At what point do you start working on those, and how much evolution is there in the process of the novel writing in those particular twists?
You know, E.L. Doctor has a great quote on writing where he said that writing is like driving a car at night in the fog with the headlights on. You can only see a little bit ahead of you, but you can make the whole journey that way. I would add, I know where that journey is going to end, but I just see a little bit ahead of me. And as I'm going along, I find twists and turns and detours that I did not necessarily think of or expect when I started the novel. I had no idea. I really don't know anything about the middle. That is the journey for me to get to the other side. So, but you know, maybe a page or two, sometimes a chapter or two ahead, I'll see, ooh, here's a place where we can really spin the story in a completely different direction and really play with people's expectations. And that's fun for me. I mean, I hope, you know, when you read Home, and for those who are listening, who love a challenge, you will not guess the ending. I mean, I'll just say that straight out. You may think you're close, and you're not going to guess the ending. And that, I take a great deal of pride, and I work really hard on that. Has to work on an emotional level, too, not just a puzzle level, not just a level that, aha, good sleight of hand, you fooled me. But you have to be fill the pow. Has to be a little shot, a little ping in the heart.
Have you perfected that over time? Do you feel you've gotten better at it? Or another way of asking the question, has it gotten easier, or is it still always a challenge?
It's always a challenge. Writing never gets easier. You know, every time I think, you know, you kind of got this, I think next book's going to be easier. It never really happens. And you're always dealing with, you know, horrible insecurity when you're a writer. I don't care how many books I've sold or all the stats that were read off earlier. Each book, I think, that's it. You know, you're done. This one's no good. And then all of a sudden, like, nope, this is the best thing you ever wrote. And that other book's not so good. You know, you go back and forth within 5 minutes of one another. I think that's part of the writing process. I think when I lose, and when most writers lose that belief, when you don't have the doubts, is when you're starting to phone it in or not being as good. Only bad writers think they're good. The rest of us just sweat it out.
But you like sweating it out. You have to want to keep sweating it out.
I guess. I don't have any choice. It's just my process. So each book, you know, my wife has to hear me whine, oh, you know, this one I lost it. I used to be so good. Now I stink. And then, no, I'm good. Now I used to stink. That's just like, and they nod. And that's just the process I go through, the sort of self-torment that you do to produce any kind of pages, whatever you're writing.
Harlan Coben is our guest on the book show. The name of the new novel is Home, and it is published by Dutton. So when you think about where you have left this character and where you've left these characters, do you think, oh, okay, I'm still, the jury's out, we'll go back to these, I assume, at some point? Or do you not think like that?
I really don't think like that. I mean, I actually thought a couple books ago was the last one, but it certainly obviously wasn't. It sounds so highfalutin. If it calls to me, I'll do it. If it doesn't, I won't. I believe that I will be writing more Myron Bolitar novels, but I don't plan to. I plan on each book getting an idea. And for all I know, the next book will be Myron too. I would doubt it very highly. But normally I also react to what I just did. So if I've done a Myron, I haven't done two Myrons in a row in forever. If I've done a book, for example, I did one book called Hold Tight. It had 27 viewpoints and took place in a very small town. The next book was first person, one viewpoint, and we traveled internationally. So I often react to what I've done, I also find, and do something as different as I can be.
There is the commercial aspect to this as well, though, right? I mean, we as readers we like this character, we want to read more of this character. Does that enter into the equation?
No, but not because, you know, I'm not trying to sound like an artiste, you know, pronounced exactly like that, because I'm too important to care about the audience or any of that sort of thing. In my case, if I write a standalone or if I write a Myron Bolitar, there doesn't seem to be a big commercial difference. What I've always found is that if I write what I'm really ready to write and what I'm loving, that's really the key. It's something that I recommend to authors that are starting out. We often hear, follow the market, see what's selling. I can only tell you that that's absolutely utter nonsense, and really you shouldn't do it. Practically speaking, by the time you'd write the book, that phase would be over. So if, I don't know, medical thrillers are in, by the time you'd spend 8 or 9 months writing one or a year and it gets out, medical thrillers aren't in anymore. But on another level is, if you don't love it, if you don't have the integrity to write what you love, it just doesn't work. The greatest genius can't write something that's not necessarily something that they enjoy. Yeah, some people do writing for hire, but it won't work. You won't have your heart and soul in it. And somehow readers know that. I don't know how, but you really can't fake it. Most writers in the end are writing something that they themselves love.
And you like giving we certainly see this in this book, that you like giving the readers insight into these characters and giving us more. So we become even more engaged in their lives and ultimately want more stories about them.
You know, look, if part of the joy of reading this book is not just spending time with Myron and Wynne, even when they're in a pub and they're in London and they're having a, you know, fish and chips and a beer, if that part isn't part of it for you, then, well, now I feel like I didn't do my job. I want you to really want to spend time with them. Again, it doesn't mean a character is good or even likable, but a character has to be real. They have to be that person that you want to sit in a bar and listen to. And sometimes that could be a bad guy, but it has to be, a person has to be engaging. A character has to be engaging.
Is there a preference? Do you like writing good guys versus bad guys, or is it all fun?
The answer might be none of it is fun. It's hard. Writing is hard.
I understand but many people will say that, you know, once you have the stability, that's not as much fun to write about than the devious stuff.
There's a villain in this book named Fat Gandhi.
Yes.
Who I really loved, you know, once he came to life for me, I really loved his scenes. You know, and Wynne is, Myron's sidekick Wynne is a good guy, bad guy. I mean, he kills a lot of people. He is a bit of a weapon. I love writing him. But I love writing Myron, too. I mean, Myron is the hero. With a knee brace and all of his issues, you know, Myron's my boy. So I don't necessarily, you know, say I like writing one more than the other. Writing is always sort of the same in terms of the good boys or the bad boys. I'm happy or not happy. Pretty much writing the same.
Well, the name of the new book is Home. It is a Myron Bolitar novel, and it is out from Dutton. Harlan Coben, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with this book and with the continued work as well.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
Very nice to have you back on the program. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at WAMC.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.